Are we on? Hey, it's Rosalie Contrite of ContriteCatholic.com and This Catholic Life podcast, where we talk about everything from NFP to striving for holiness in today's world. If you're looking for polished, don't check me out. But if you want honest and unedited, listen to This Catholic Life, my home when I'm not standing in line for confession. You can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, and at breadboxmedia.com. Hey everybody, you are here with Rosalie Contrite of the Contrite Catholic Blog and This Catholic Life podcast. I am so happy to be here with you again today. We have a very special guest, Devin Rose, the author of The Protestant's Dilemma and Navigating the Tiber, which you can find at Catholic Answers, Amazon, and your local Catholic bookstore. So stay tuned for that a little later in the show. First off, I want to talk about the fact that we launched a YouTube channel. And by we, I mean me, myself, and I, and Jesus. So it's a little rusty, and like the show will get better every time, and I am so excited to share that with you guys. So if you want to subscribe to that, if you just search Rosalie Contrite, you will find that on YouTube. A few things to talk about this time. Since my last show, I have recorded with Catholic TV, and that was very exciting. It will air sometime in September, and when that happens, I will get an audio version for you podcast listeners. We just talk a little bit about the podcast and how I came to make it, so should be fascinating. All right, enough gabbing with me. Stay with me, and in the next segment, we will have Devin Rose.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
This is Rosalie Contrite of This Catholic Life podcast, and I am here with author Devin Rose. He is the author of The Protestant's Dilemma, which is a book that first brought him to my attention. I give it out a lot of times at Christmas, not so subtle, but it's just an apologetic powerhouse. Like, I haven't dealt with something that Protestants will say to Catholics that I haven't been able to deal with that book. So can't speak highly enough about it. But Devin, if you could tell me a little bit, just like a real quick summary of your faith journey.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I grew up atheist and thought that I was hot stuff. Went to college and developed a social anxiety disorder, panic attacks, depression. That showed me that I was not hot stuff. And I ended up turning to God, asking for his help to save me. And for the first time since the years I had these problems, they started to get better. So I started reading the Bible. I went to a Baptist church with my Protestant friends, and came to believe. I was baptized in the Southern Baptist Church, and it was great, but only about a year or two later, I started looking into Catholicism in order to disprove it, and I ended up proving it to myself, and I became Catholic.
That's really interesting, because that is sort of how I kind of came into it. I had a lot of people saying things to me in my life, and I was like, all right, I'm going to take a second, debunk all this stuff, and we'll move on. I'll free them from their superstitions, basically.
But were you atheist or Protestant?
I was baptized Catholic, and I grew up culturally Catholic. I was always, from the very beginning, an atheist. And not just the kind who is like, oh, you believe and I don't. I was like militant. I needed to win them over to my side. So, but what I really wanted you to talk about is your new book.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah. The new book is, hopefully you'll like it as much as you like The Protestant's Dilemma. It's called Navigating the Tiber, how to lead your Protestant friends and family in their journey to the Catholic Church. So Catholic Answers published this one as well. And it is a guidebook for Catholics, teaching them, leading them on how to have a discussion, an ongoing dialogue and relationship with Protestant friends and family in order to help them consider the Catholic Church's claims. So that, in a nutshell, is what this book is about.
My biggest problem with evangelizing is charity. I get really short with people. Do you have advice for people who really, it's almost like a tenuous relationship, like they don't want to bring it up? Do you think that you can help them with that?
Yeah, so this book is about 40% or 30% apologetics and about 60% soft skills, psychology, dealing with the fact that you lose your temper. And you, the discussion gets heated. How do you deal with that? What is your Protestant friend thinking? When do you need to back off? When do you need to switch the subjects? So, when can you identify that this Protestant friend or family member is not someone that you're going to make progress with, and that you need to just say a prayer for them and let God take care of them? Because there's someone else who you really should invest your time with. So it is exactly that type of question that this book seeks to help Catholics with, both the apologetics, but more so all that other stuff around the conversations and relationships we have with Protestants.
I need to pick this up like yesterday. I mean, this is, sounds so great. How did you research this book? How did this idea come to you?
Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I started having at work conversations with a Baptist friend of mine. So he and I were having back and forth discussion, and a Catholic friend of mine, who we also worked with, joined us. Well, he was a cradle Catholic who, you know, kind of like you, he didn't learn his faith real well. He rediscovered it, and now he wanted to get strong in his faith. So he was on that journey. But he wasn't yet ready to sit down across from, you know, this Baptist guy and start trading Bible verses. Well, after every conversation, he would pull me over to the side and say, "Why did you talk about this? Like, how did you know that?" So I wrote this. His name's George Martinez. Well, I wrote the book specifically with him in mind. It, you know, with him, I could sit right next to him and mentor him. But for all the other Catholics who get stumped and who are confused, don't know where to begin, don't know what a path to lead them on, the next best thing that I could do would be to give them this book. So it came out of I wrote the first draft about 5 years ago, and then worked on it over the past 5 years from all the experiences and conversations and that I and others have had.
I did not realize that it took that much time to write a book like this. Did it take that long to write The Protestant's Dilemma as well?
You know, both of the books had an interesting genesis. Scott Hahn seems to crank out about 2 books a year. So I don't think everyone has it takes them that long to write a book. Mm-hmm. But as it did me. But what happened was I wrote If Protestantism Is True. All the Catholic publishers I submitted it to rejected it. So then I self-published it. Catholic Answers saw it and said, "Hey, this looks pretty good." They wanted to publish it. Well, it took a year or two for Catholic Answers then to take that book from self-published, totally rewrote it to The Protestant's Dilemma. During that time, I wrote the manuscript for Navigating the Tiber. But Catholic Answers, you know, they're kind of like, "Well, let's see whether this first book he writes does very well."
Yeah.
You know, and so then the book, Protestant's Dilemma, did well. And so then they thought, "Well, okay, do you have another book idea?" And I said, "Yeah, I've written it right here." So submitted that. They said, "This looks good." And then we spent the past two years editing it until it's finally done.
So they came to you. That's like... That would be so humbling. That would be awesome. How did they just find you? Like, how were you promoting this, marketing it?
With the Protestant's Dilemma or Protestantism's True?
The Protestant's Dilemma.
So the self-published earlier incarnation of it, there were enough blog friends of mine, people like Layla Miller, who posted reviews of the book or shared it, that it got onto their radar. And I thought, oh, maybe they're going to include it in their catalog, which would have blown me away.
Yeah.
And the editor read it and said, you know, hey, we like this. So it was quite an honor. The interesting thing is now I have a relationship with them. And so now it's easier because it's, hey, I have another book idea. Well, they're willing to give me the benefit of the doubt.
You are not an author by trade, correct?
Correct. No, I'm. I got my degree in electrical engineering, and I've done to provide for my family and myself over the past 15, 16 years. I've done software development, so I am a computer programmer. That's what I do every day. And the apologetic stuff, you know, I only started doing it maybe 8 or 9 years after becoming Catholic. Once I became Catholic, I was so tired of all the arguments and apologetics, I quit doing it. I quit anything because I lost most of my Protestant friends when I became Catholic, which was really painful because these were the people who helped lead me to Jesus. And I became Catholic, and it was, you know, I was persona non grata. I don't know if you experienced that too.
I lost Protestant friends, atheist friends more quickly, but I also lost a lot of Protestant friends who just couldn't. It was weird. They didn't mind when I was an atheist, but now that I was Catholic, it wasn't doable anymore. So that was kind of an interesting thing. So I'm hoping that this new book that you put out, maybe I can convert them and we can be friends again. I don't know. We'll see, you know.
Well, it might help you to establish a decent relationship with at least other Protestants that you run into.
I have a reputation for, I'm not always charitable. I like to be very comedic and I'm kind of extroverted. And I think so with Protestants, I'm not the person who's going to bring them in. Someone like you is.
Well, but, you know, one thing, Rosalie, is some people, they would be, you know, maybe my approach works, but others, they need someone like you, someone who's blunt, someone who can add comedy in. You know, it's interesting. You know, there's lots of people who teach the theology of the body. I know various people who can't stand that theology of the body guy, but they really like that one. Mm-hmm. Or they can't stand her, but they really like her. You know, so I think that you know, our Lord's given you and every person these different gifts through baptism. And there's people that you can reach that I never could. So you're adapting those principles for, you know, in your own unique way. And you may have to grow in virtue and patience and, you know, long suffering in your discussions, but, you know, your own unique talents will help to draw people too.
That's actually a really interesting point. And I was actually talking to a friend who listens to the show. So we'll give her a shout out. Her name is Marie. Only every other Catholic woman is Marie Maria. So we'll keep her anonymous. But we were talking about how people, like, we don't want to drive them away with a lack of charity. Like, you don't want to turn them off to the faith by being, I don't know, cold or something. But I told her that when I was an atheist, the people who are like, oh, no, it's fine. You can live with your boyfriend. There's nothing wrong with that. Or you can do whatever it is you're doing. We have no judgment. You know, Jesus still loves you. Those weren't the people who led me to need to disprove it. It was the people who were like, what you're doing is actually wrong. Like, I still love you, but what you're doing is wrong. I didn't react well. I was angry. And I'm sure someone could have looked in and said, well, that wasn't very charitable. But those are the people who got to me. So I think you have a point there. Now, if somebody is looking for any of your books, would you say go to Catholic Answers, or where should they look to find them?
Yeah, I'm very much a go wherever you know, Catholic Answers sells them on their site, shop.catholic.com. But, you know, Amazon, you could probably save $1 if you go to and buy it on Amazon. Most Catholic bookstores will stock it, or you can ask them. You'll pay a little bit more, but you're going to be supporting the local, you know, Catholic store. So, yeah, any of those places work fine.
I was going to come back around to this because I didn't realize that you grew up an atheist. I was thinking that you were a Protestant to Catholic, which you sort of, you went atheist to Protestant to Catholic. What really grabbed you and said, maybe atheism isn't right? Like, what?
Yeah.
What got through to you that the idea of a God at all was plausible?
Yeah, so for me, with the anxiety and panic attacks, I thought in my atheistic beliefs, well, this is just chemicals in my brain that are going wrong. Mind over matter. I can control and change the neural pathways, you know, the physical things happening, so that I won't be anxious. So I bought self-help books, and I tried all different techniques and whatnot, and none of it worked. So for me, I was beginning to get desperate, living in constant daily dread, fear of humiliation, sometimes actual humiliations because of the anxiety disorder. It was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it was, okay, this empirically for me has not worked. Atheism has not worked. The alternative in my mind was always God. And for me, God was always Jesus, who my fundamentalist Baptist cousins believe in, you know, who had given me an old King James Bible when I was 10 years old. And I started reading it as an atheist when I was undergoing this, and I could not understand a word of what it was saying. It was Greek to me. Well, Hebrew, but I was starting the Old Testament. But it made no sense. Eventually, my Baptist friend saw I was reading it and gave me a new international version, NIV Study Bible. So that's what led me to think, okay, I'll try God. It was out of pure desperation.
That's really interesting. I came at it from like a physics standpoint with the uncaused cause, where something has never come from nothing. And I feel like if somebody could show me something that came from nothing, maybe I would reevaluate. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
I have a lot of admiration for people like you who actually do come from that perspective, because that is a truly rational perspective to make a decision.
You know, what's really interesting is, having done all this now, and maybe you could say this too, there are a lot of things, if Catholicism was disproved tomorrow somehow, that I wouldn't change in my viewpoint, you know, things like NFP and things that in the just natural order type things that just seem true. Do you find that too?
Yeah, definitely. And I've been reading a book that just came out by Kevin Vost about the Stoics, the Stoic philosophers, who I didn't know much about. But these philosophers who were right up into the time of Christ and then contemporaries with him, they, even without understanding the Holy Trinity and Jesus or any of that, they came via natural law and telos and ontology and were like, yeah, you know what? Marriage is ordered to the procreation of children. Monogamy, it's wrong to do abortions. A whole, you know, it's right to act justly to your fellow man. They had a whole philosophy that was really the took you to the doorstep of Christianity. And like what you're saying, I think even without, you know, Catholicism being true, this is the way to live. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really kind of a beautiful thing. So we've got the Bible telling us, you know, God gave us a message, but he also gives it to us in the natural law. And that's a talking point that I use with other atheists. And I have had a few who are coming into the church next year because they missed this Easter. But so
that's a big thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that you did you convert your family?
No, I only had a 50% success rate or a 33% success rate. My mom did leave agnosticism and eventually become Catholic. My sister did not. And my dad started went from agnosticism to being a Baptist, but not because of me, just for other reasons.
You never know.
Yeah, never know. It's always tough with family because you have that whole, the prophet's not honored in his own country. And a lot of times family, they think, why would I listen to what you're saying?
You're saying that you can't give your book out for Christmas just like I do?
Well, so I gave a copy of my book to my dad. Never in now in years has he once mentioned the book. He made no indication he's read the book. I don't know if I've ever seen it even on his bookshelf. It's funny because you kind of think, well, man, if my son wrote a book, I'd probably be like, hey, cool. Even if it was about Buddhism or, I don't know, New Age something or other. Yeah, I'd say, son, I don't believe in this New Age stuff, but, bully for you writing a book. He did come to my baptism at the Baptist church, and, it's been okay. Now he prays before meals and stuff, so there's a bit of movement toward Christianity there.
You should write a book on, I've got two topics for you now, having talked to you.
Right.
You need to write one on anxiety and God and how that helped you, because I feel like there is next to nothing on that topic, and I need it. I know so many people who do need it, so you can start on that one. And then also just family, dealing with, because so many people have families that are not all one religion anymore. It used to be, mom and dad or something and the kids or something. And now it's so, it can be so, I don't know what the word is, just tense at holidays. We went home for the 4th of July, and just even at meals, I was like, oh, I just want to give up praying at meals so we're not like a spectacle, because I don't want to look like, oh, we're holier than thou. But I also don't want to give it up, because then am I giving it up because people are around and it just becomes, about? Yeah.
No, it's really hard. I mean, I have a small family. My wife is from a big family. She has 7 siblings, most of whom have left the Catholic faith. So, Christmas, it's like, do I say something to sister-in-law over there who's playing reggae music on Christmas? Could we have something different than, Jimi Hendrix and the Doors? It's very difficult because for her and for me, when we became Catholic, or in her case, reconverted, rediscovered it, we were on fire. And so we were so excited about sharing it, and it burned people, and they got sick of it and sick of us, and they didn't want to hear it anymore. And now they, please, Devin and Katie, shut up. Don't share it with us.
I was kind of that way, too. I was like, going to wear the scapular on the outside of my clothes, and I'm going to veil at Mass, and I go to daily Mass, and I'm going to post about it, and I'm going to check in on Facebook. And it was like, oh boy, and now I look back on it and I'm like, probably could have taken it down a notch. But I totally, I'm so appreciative of you stopping by the show. And if you want to check out any of the titles, Navigating the Tiber or The Protestant's Dilemma, you can find that at Catholic Answers, Amazon, or,
Your local Catholic bookstore.
Yes, your local Catholic bookstore. That's right. Which is actually where I get mine and where I found it in the first place. So I think it's a resource worth supporting. And if you just want to say goodbye, any words of advice in closing?
We're entering a time, in our country and in the world where the faithful witnesses are needed. So there are few of us to go around. So be encouraged and be a faithful witness.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.